announcer, DJ Shy John. This recorded on Tuesday, April the 9th, 2013. Today in the news, I have a special report from mindhacks.com, why money won't buy you happiness. Hope a lottery win will make you happy forever? Think again. Evidence suggests a big payout won't make that much of a difference. Tom Stafford explains why. Think a lottery win would make you happy forever? Many of us do, including a U.S. shopkeeper who just scooped $338 million in the Powerball lottery, the fourth largest prize in the game's history. Before the last Powerball jackpot in the United States, tickets were being snapped up at a rate of around 130,000 a minute. But before you place all your hopes and dreams on another ticket, here's something you should know. All the evidence suggests a big payout won't make that much of a difference in the end. Winning the lottery isn't a ticket to true happiness, however enticing it might be to imagine. Never working again and being able to afford anything you want. One study famously found that people who had big wins on the lottery ended up no happier than those who had bought tickets but didn't win. It seems that as long as you can afford to avoid the basic miseries of life, having loads of spare cash doesn't make you very much happier than having very little. One way of accounting for this is to assume that lottery winners get used to their new level of wealth and simply adjust back to a baseline level of happiness, something called the hedonic treadmill. Another explanation is that our happiness depends on how we feel relative to our peers. If you win the lottery, you may feel richer than your neighbors and think that moving to a mansion in a new neighborhood would make you happy. But then you look out of the window and realize that all your new friends live in bigger mansions. Both of these phenomena undoubtedly play a role, but the deeper mystery is why we're so bad at knowing what will give us true satisfaction in the first place. You might think we should be able to predict this, even if it isn't straightforward. Lottery winners could take account of hedonic treadmill and social comparison effects when they spend their money, so why don't they, in short, spend their winnings in ways that buy happiness? Picking up points. Part of the problem is that happiness isn't a quality, like height, weight, or income, that can be easily measured and given a number, whatever psychologists try and pretend. Happiness is a complex, nebulous state that is fed by transient, simple pleasures, as well as the more sustained rewards of activities that only make sense from a perspective of years or decades. So perhaps it isn't surprising that we sometimes have trouble acting in a way that will bring us the most happiness. Imperfect memories and imaginations mean that our moment-to-moment choices don't always reflect our long-term interests. It even seems like the very act of trying to measure it can distract us from what might make us most happy. An important study by Christopher Hsi of the Chicago School of Business and colleagues showed how this could happen. Hsi's study was based around a simple choice. Participants were offered the option of working at a 6-minute task for a gallon of vanilla ice cream reward, or a 7-minute task for a gallon of pistachio ice cream. Under normal conditions, less than 30% of people chose the 7-minute task, mainly because they liked pistachio ice cream more than vanilla. For happiness scholars, this isn't hard to interpret. Those who preferred pistachio ice cream had enough motivation to choose the longer task. But the experiment had a vital extra comparison. Another group of participants were offered the same choice, but with an intervening point system. The choice was between working for 6 minutes to earn 60 points or 7 minutes to earn 100 points. With 50 to 99 points, participants were told they could receive a gallon of vanilla ice cream. For 100 points, they could receive a gallon of pistachio ice cream. Although the actions and the effects are the same, introducing the point system dramatically affected the choices people made. Now, the majority chose the longer task and earned the 100 points, which they could spend on the pistachio reward, even though the same proportion, about 70%, still said they preferred vanilla. Based on this and other experiments, Hsieh concluded that participants are maximizing their points at the expense of maximizing their happiness. The points are just a medium, something that allows us to get the thing that will create enjoyment. But because the points are so easy to measure and compare, 100 is obviously much more than 60, this overshadows our knowledge of what kind of ice cream we enjoy most. So next time you are buying a lottery ticket because of the amount it is paying out, or choosing wine by looking at the price, or comparing jobs by looking at the salaries, you might do well to remember to think hard about how much the bet, wine, or job will really promote your happiness, rather than simply relying on the numbers to do the comparison. Money doesn't buy you happiness, and part of the reason for that might be that money itself distracts us from what we really enjoy. I am reminded of a song by Weird Al Yankovic called This Is the Life, in which he's quoted as saying, "If money won't buy me happiness, I guess I'll have to rent it." And now it's time for the Harper's Weekly Review, April 9, 2013. Canadian Pacific announced that the derailment of a freight train en route from Thunder Bay, Ontario to Montreal had spilled 400 barrels of oil rather than 4, the company's original estimate, and the U.S. Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration ordered ExxonMobil to begin metallurgical testing of its ruptured Pegasus pipeline, which leaked 5,000 barrels of Canadian tar sands oil near Starlight Road in Mayflower, Arkansas, forcing the evacuation of 22 homes and causing the deaths of at least 14 ducks, 2 turtles, and 1 nutria. "That neighborhood was like a scene from The Walking Dead," said Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel. ExxonMobil officials requested that the Federal Aviation Administration institute a temporary no-fly zone over the area affected by the spill and instructed local police to keep reporters away. "When you throw the media out," said a Little Rock radio station director, "that's when the media really get their tentacles up." Margaret Thatcher, the first female Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, died at the Ritz Hotel in London following a stroke. "She was probably the number one person in our history," said a Falkland Islander. "She will be remembered as a leader who gave nothing positive to the humankind," said a veteran of the Falklands War. "She didn't think it was her job to find middle ground," said former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. A suicide bomber in Afghanistan's Zabul province attacked a U.S. convoy, killing 3 American soldiers, a Defense Department employee, and a 25-year-old State Department diplomat, while a NATO airstrike in Kunar province reportedly killed several Taliban fighters and 11 children. "The folks who want to kill people," said Secretary of State John Kerry, "are scared of knowledge." A report released by the National Rifle Association called for the placement of armed security personnel in every U.S. school and cited, in support of the plan, a massacre of 6 students in Hastings, Minnesota that never took place. "This is one of those times," said Hastings Police Chief, "that we want to make sure the information we are using to make policy decisions is complete and accurate." Connecticut placed strict new regulations on the types of weapons and ammunition that can be sold and purchased in the state, and poet Maya Angelou, described her past use of a gun to drive off an intruder. "It was fall. I heard the rhythm of someone walking on the leaves," said Angelou. Boom, 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 boom. North Korea moved an intermediate-range ballistic missile to its eastern coast and announced plans to reopen its Yongbyon atomic facility. "A small spark can now easily lead to a fire," said a South Korean analyst. "The moment of explosion is approaching fast," said North Korean state media. "We are looking for the temperature to be taken down," said the Pentagon. At Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, where last month a rat disabled the system that circulates coolant to more than 8,800 fuel rods, the system was again disabled, this time by technicians. "We were installing wire nets," said a manager, "to keep the rats out." A Saudi court ruled that a 24-year-old man who has spent a decade in prison for stabbing a friend in the spine and paralyzing him should be surgically paralyzed as punishment. A federal judge in Brooklyn instructed the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to make the morning-after pill available to women of all ages without a prescription. And the state legislature of Kansas passed a Woman's Right to Know Act, which states that life begins at fertilization. The government of Uganda was moving forward with a bill that would prohibit women from wearing miniskirts and would ban sexualized images from appearing in the country's media. Television, said Ethics Minister Simon Lokodo, a former Catholic priest, should not broadcast a sexy person. A 26,000-square-foot Barbie dream house was being built near Berlin's Alexanderplatz. New Jersey banned the use of tanning beds by minors, and Los Angeles synchronized all 4,500 of its traffic lights. Good news. A Phoenix man was arrested for falsely claiming ownership of a 100-pound tortoise named Jeeps. In Wales, where wardens of Dylan Thomas's grave were considering the installation of badger-proof fencing, and researchers established that Shakespeare hoarded barley, a lingering cold snap in Snowdonia was killing thousands of pregnant ewes, some of which had lambed prematurely. "The drifts are so bad, we don't know what's under them," said a shepherd from Betts Ye Coed. "Some sheep are trapped in catacombs," said one from the Carndale. The death of acorns and beechnuts in Gloucester was driving boars in the Forest of Dean to root more destructively, and a baked bean spill caused the closure of a roadway near Newton-le-Willows. Meat industry trade groups in the United States suggested that top loin chops, and bone-in pork loin chops be renamed a pork chop, said a National Pork Board official, is a pork chop. A cheesesteak restaurant in Northeast Philadelphia changed its name from Chink's to Joe's. Samoa Air announced that it would begin setting fares on the basis of passengers' body weight. And Target apologized for having labeled the same shade of kimono maxi dress dark heather gray in regular sizes and manatee gray in plus sizes. Brevetoxins from an algae bloom off Florida's western coast were killing record numbers of manatees. When algae blooms coincide with manatee movement, said one veterinarian, it results in catastrophic mortality. Good to know. This article by Anthony Lydgate. And once again, we have reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. And as I always say, ladies and gentlemen, be kind to one another. Be the change you want to see. And stay out of the news.